And tonight, Janet has a teaching on true devotion to Mary. Janet?
I wanted to have a talk on Mary because it's the month of Mary. True devotion to Mary. And it was written by St. Louis de Montfort. So just a couple fun facts on St. Louis. He was born in 1673. So the book is actually written in the 1600s, but it got translated by somebody else later. He was ordained a priest in 1700 at the age of 27. He established two religious orders and wrote a few books. He wasn't canonized a saint until 1947. A long time, that's 200, 300 years later. At his beatification, some witnesses stated that during his life, they could hear him struggle with the devil and heard sounds of fist blows and the swoosh of whips. But he died young at the age of 43, but accomplished a lot in his life, according to God. So he had a great devotion to Mary. He believed that the more we honored the Blessed Virgin, the more that we honor Jesus Christ. During his lifetime, the devotion to Mary was not very popular, and some thought heretical. Some believed in going directly to God, and we hear that today a lot from other non-Catholic religions, and that they believed going directly to God and that Mary was not necessary or even appropriate. St. Louis, through his training and learning from many other saints, promoted a devotion to Mary and wrote this book to evangelize this practice that he felt was very necessary and beneficial to ourselves. He is quoted as saying, "The more the Holy Ghost finds Mary, his dear and inseparable spouse, in any soul, the more active and mighty he becomes in producing Jesus Christ in that soul, and that soul in Jesus Christ." He acknowledged that Jesus does not have to have Mary to accomplish his will, but he did choose her to complete his will. He does not equate Mary to God, but emphasizes that Mary was truly highly gifted and blessed and is queen of all the angels and saints, and that God has greatly exalted her because of her perfect submission to his will. God has chosen to make her an instrument by which we have access to, so that she can purify all of our good works and prayers, and that we can ask her for intercession and motherly guidance. In Scripture, there are many examples of how Jesus worked with and through Mary. Most powerfully through Mary, Jesus was made incarnate and came to us in a human form. When Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, John left in Elizabeth's womb. So John became sanctified by Jesus through Mary. At the wedding of Cana, Mary asked Jesus for assistance when the wine ran out. Jesus again worked a miracle in response to Mary's request. St. Louis states that God is so pleased with her that he does not resist what she asks, but everything she asks of him is conformed to his will. Devotion to Mary was promoted by other saints, such as St. Augustine, St. Ephraim, St. Cyril, St. Bernard, St. Thomas, just to name a few. All concluded that devotion to our Blessed Lady is necessary to salvation. In the Chronicles of St. Francis, he states that during an ecstasy, he once saw a great ladder ascending into heaven, at the top of which stood the Blessed Virgin, and by which it was shown him he must ascend to reach heaven. So he, by that ecstasy, by that vision, he understood that he has to go through Mary to get to Jesus. And just like Jesus is a mediator for the Father, Mary is a mediator for Jesus. There are multiple passages in Scripture where it's foretold that Mary will be given power over the devil, and that she will be given wisdom and graces and many blessings from God. In Genesis 3, It says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt light and wait for her heel. Mary will crush the head of the serpent, meaning she will crush Lucifer's pride. So the head is signified by the pride. In this book, St. Louis predicts that Mary will especially shine forth in the latter times, when Satan will lay his snares against her heel, that is to say, her humble slaves and her poor children, whom she will raise up to make war against him. So by the heel, he's likening that to the poor children, the humble children. And by the heel, it's like if you think of the heel on the bottom of your foot, it takes the weight of the full body and it gets crushed every time we walk. She will accomplish this by using her children. She will make use of the poor and the less esteemed people of this world, which is like to the heel of the body. When the heel gets crushed, so like if your heel would be totally crushed, let's say you broke your heel bone or broke that part of the foot, you wouldn't be able to walk or walk very well. So by crushing the heel of the serpent and also the head, you're taking the entire serpent down. You're crushing his pride and you're crushing everything about him. Mary will gift the poor of this world with abundant graces of God and sustain them, and together they will crush the heel and head of the serpent and cause Jesus to triumph. So in this book, St. Louis, he must have been a very organized person. He liked to make a lot of lists. And I'm going to go through a few lists, but very, very brief descriptions. So he describes seven different kinds of false devotions to Mary. So the first is called the critical devotees. These are people who are highly educated, but cast out and are critical of those who honor and are devoted to Mary. The second are called the scrupulous ones, who are people who feel that by honoring Mary, they are somehow lessening the praise and worship of Jesus, so the devotions to Mary are very limited. The third is those who practice external devotions only, just like the Pharisees. They have no interior connection. The fourth is presumptuous devotees, who believe their actions towards others in life are of little consequence, and they expect to be forgiven when they die, so they just assume that they're going to be forgiven all their sins. The fifth is those who are inconstant. These are people who are easily changeable and people who are not committed to try and keep up their devotions to Mary. It's like the seed that falls on the good soil. At first it springs up and it grows, but then it gets choked out by weeds and thorns. The sixth are the hypocritical. These are people who pretend to honor Mary, but really don't, and become critical of those who do. And the last is a weird name, but it's called the interested devotees. These are people who only seem to honor Mary in order to gain some benefit, such as a physical cure or whatever they're asking or praying to Mary for, but then forget her after they get what they ask for. On contrast, for true devotion of Mary, St. Louis tells that we must honor her interiorly and sincerely from our hearts. We must be tender, meaning we must put our trust and confidence in her. We must strive to be holy and imitate her virtues. And we must be constant, not easily abandoning or forgetting about her. Lastly, we must be disinterested, meaning we should honor Mary because she is worthy to be honored and not for self-gain. It's okay to ask Mary for help and assistance because we should, but this must not be our main focus. Our devotion can't be for the only reason of obtaining favors from her. And some good prayer practices, as recommended by St. Louis, is to acknowledge that she is the worthy Mother of God, to meditate on her virtues, her privileges, and her actions, to show her gratitude for all of her help and for her life on earth and being the perfect mother to Jesus. We can unite all of ourselves to her and all of our actions so that through her she will purify them and make them perfect before being presented to Jesus. Some more exterior practices can include wearing the miraculous medal, the scapula, praying the rosary, singing songs. We can even have some pictures like or the like in our homes as a reminder to keep Mary in our thoughts and prayers. St. Louis emphasizes several times in this book that the more a soul is consecrated to Mary, the more it is consecrated to Jesus. He states that a perfect devotion to Mary is when we give all of ourselves to her in order to belong entirely to Jesus, body, soul, and spirit. And he continues to list 8 motives for perfect consecration. And again, this will be very brief. The first motive is that it devotes us entirely to the service of God. Again, when we offer all of ourselves to Mary, we are also offering all of ourselves to Jesus. The second is that it makes us imitate the example of Jesus Christ and of the Holy Trinity and practice humility. And one example was given when he explained that Jesus was not sent to the earth already a grown man, but he was sent as an infant, completely dependent on his parents to care for him. He also spent 30 years with Mary before his public ministry and completely submitted himself to Mary as his earthly mother and his father Joseph as long as Joseph was alive. St. Louis states that he gave more glory to God his Father during all that time of submission to and dependence on our Blessed Lady than he would have given him if he had employed those 30 years in working miracles and preaching to the whole world and converting all men, all of which he would have done could he have thereby contributed more to God's glory. That was like a perfect practice of humility for over 30 years. Our approaching God through Mary is an act of humility. The third motive obtains for us the favors of Mary. When we give our works and our prayers to Mary, she takes them and she enriches them to make them acceptable and perfect before God. The fourth is that our consecration of ourselves to Mary is the way to make sure all is done for the greater glory of God. The fifth is that it leads us to a more intimate union with God. Mary was given the power to bestow some graces on us, and she can help us on the path to Jesus. And the sixth motive is that we know that we can become true children of God and not a slave to our human will. The seventh motive is that this allows for blessings for our fellow man. We can pray and offer our acts for the conversion of sinners and praying for a soul in purgatory, etc. And the last motive is that we can give all of our merits, graces, and virtues to Mary to hold on to so that if we fall, we won't lose what little we have gained. What does Mary do for us in return? Is that she loves us, she fosters and nurtures us, she directs us on the right path, she protects and defends us from the evil one, and she intercedes for us. The Blessed Mother will give us a self-knowledge so that we learn humility. Mary will help us be stronger in our faith. She will deliver us from scruples, from unnecessary cares and fears. She will help us grow in confidence in God and to communicate with us in order to glorify God. St. Ambrose said of the future, and this future is what's happening now, when will Mary be established mistress and queen of all hearts? When that time comes, wonderful things will happen in those lowly places where the Holy Ghost, finding his dear spouse, as it were, reproduced in souls, should come in with abundance and fill them to overflowing with his gifts, and particularly with gifts of wisdom to work miracles of grace. So are we not seeing this happening now? We see this in Medjugorje. We saw it in Fatima. How many times does she appear to the poorest of the poor? And how many miracles come out of those places? Some final thoughts. Something as simple as saying a Hail Mary has more power than most people realize. Over the years, Mary has appeared to several different saints and talked to them about the value of the Hail Mary. The saints tell us that it is a prayer which has made the dry and barren earth bring forth the fruit of life, and it is that prayer well said which makes the Word of God germinate in our souls and bring forth Jesus Christ, the fruit of life. It is heavenly dew for watering the earth, which is the soul, to make it bring forth its fruit in season. The Hail Mary, said with attention and devotion, is the enemy of the devil which puts him to flight, and the hammer which crushes him. St. Louis adds that the Hail Mary is the most perfect compliment which you can give to Mary, because it is the compliment which the Most High sent her by an archangel. Fortunately, in the Catholic religion, Mary is honored and esteemed. We are privileged to have this knowledge about the tremendous graces God gave her, and in turn to us, for the benefit of saving souls. Unfortunately, not all people believe in her as we in the Catholic religion do. In some ways, we are still facing the same obstacles that St. Louis did more than 350 years ago. It is important for others to believe in Mary as St. Louis and many other saints have believed, because Mary is such a critical part in our relationship with Jesus. Despite her many appearances to different visionaries and various miracles associated with her appearances, there are many people who still don't believe. All we can do is pray for them and evangelize where we can to promote a true devotion to Mary, so that one day, what St. Ambrose predicted, that Mary will be established as mistress and queen of all hearts, will finally be accomplished.